Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in and join us by investing in yourself today. As the name says, we are business creators. We have our entrepreneurs. We have our small business owners. We have our local business owners. We have the marketing and business coaches and consultants. We have the folks who help others create their businesses. And then on the other side of that coin, we have the do-it-yourselfers who like to have your own hands on the levers as you market and grow. If you are one or more of the above, and chances are you are one or more of the above, please take a moment, explore episodes, and discover how we help you win at the game of business and marketing. www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com is our website. Also, check us out on iTunes. Just do a search for Business Creators Radio Show. Every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us help more business creators just like you. And as of this writing, we have nearly 180 episodes covering a broad spectrum of topics for business creators that await your immediate perusal. Today, we are going to cover a topic that doesn't get mentioned enough in sales copy. It doesn't get mentioned enough when we talk about events and we talk about seminars and we talk about the work that we do through coaching and consulting, but it really is kind of the foundation for every opportunity you have to succeed. And it has to do with mindset. And we're going to talk about how your mindset determines your results. To help us with that today, we have Kim Addis. Kim is the president and founder of Frame of Mind Coaching and Journal Engine Software. She's an author, speaker, entrepreneur, coach, and mother of five, and she's recognized as one of North America's foremost experts on performance through thought mastery and using her unique philosophy and quirky coaching style, which you will enjoy. Kim helps her clients shift their thinking in order to yield extraordinary results and personal transformation. Kim, welcome aboard.
Hello, and thank you. That was great.
All right, right. Yeah, thank you also for a little bit of patience here. I'm just fighting off a really, really bad cold, and I'm kind of hyped up on the cold meds. So we are going to just keep plowing forward here because as business creators, we don't let little things like that get in our way. What I'd like to do before we dive into the main topic here is for those of our listeners who are just getting to know you now, if you could just share a little bit about your personal journey and what has brought you to where you are today at the intersection of your brilliance and passion working with business creators.
Yeah, personal journey is that I have an undergraduate degree in psychology. I grew up in Montreal, and I got married quite young. I got married at the age of 20, and together with my husband at the time, we built a company where we built simulation-based assessments, and the purpose of those assessments was to help organizations make better hiring decisions. And one of the things that we did was we tested hundreds of thousands of people to figure out who would be a top performer in any given industry and in any given field. And one of the things that we discovered was that there was one key characteristic that was more telling than every other characteristic, and that was if a person had a high degree of emotional resilience, they would be more likely to succeed. So that's like a little part of my history, but then we can fast forward, and I'm guessing that you could tell that I didn't end up staying in that marriage. And so that's the second
right.
part of the history. And so it was a very tough time for me, and one of the things I did in order to kind of keep my head above water and really as a source of oxygen, you could say, is that I used to journal. So when I felt sad, disappointment, fear, anxiety, worry, whatever it was that I was feeling, I would journal. And that really helped me sort through a lot of the emotions that I was experiencing. And I kind of realized that that journal not only allowed me to kind of set down my emotions, but it also allowed me to start to figure out what I wanted and where I wanted to go and what I wanted to build. And so those two things combined ended up helping me first get remarried, but also build a company called Frame of Mind Coaching. One of the things I realized is that in the coaching world, we're a lot of the time we're focused on helping someone achieve their goals. And for me, I thought to myself, people don't really have trouble achieving their goals. It's not the issue. The issue is that something gets in the way. It's not a skill lack. it's not a lack of desire or a lack of motivation. There's something else at play that's interfering with a person's ability to live their dreams or achieve their goals. And if I could understand what that is and move that out of the way, now we're really talking. And so that's when I started to build Frame of Mind Coaching with the intention of really helping people build their emotional resilience. And what is emotional resilience? It's the ability to bounce back from adversity with speed and agility and even leverage that adversity and turn it into something good, turn it into a strength, turn it into an advantage. So really that's what Frame of Mind Coaching is we help people bounce back from some of the tough stuff that happened to them. And, you know, that's really a reflection of what happened to me in my personal life. It's a bounce back. How do you do that?
Wow, that's really great. And for our listeners, I think you may already be getting that part of the reason we wanted to have Kim on the show today is you've heard me talk about if there's a cloud. Do you worry about how drenched you're getting, or do you invest in the precious metal that's surrounding that cloud, the silver? You have a choice. You can either get all wet or you can get rich. It's completely up to you how you approach that cloud. I personally will continue to invest in the precious metals. I believe that you should never let a tragedy, a mistake, or a crisis go to waste. And I also believe that there is no such thing as failing. There's only a such thing as quitting, regardless of what anybody tells you. I also like to say you either earn or you learn. And when you learn, you still earn, so either way you earn. Babbling here a little bit, but just want to get those few points out, which is great. So, Kim, a lot of our listeners who write to me tell me that they struggle with a number of things. And one of the things that really comes up a lot is, I don't really know the words to put to it, but I can give you the scenario, is it seems like every year so many folks declare that this, you know, it's December, the beginning of January, and they're saying, this year will be my best year ever. And then 12 months later, this year will be my best year ever. 12 months later, this year will be my best year ever. Then you look at the list of their goals, the list of the things that they're looking to overcome, the list of the things they're looking to achieve. It's the same list over and over and over again. It's like they're stuck running in one place. So for listeners who are struggling with running in one place, how would you coach them?
Well, the first thing I'd say is stop running, right? Like, that's really tiring. Right. It's exhausting. And so here's the thing, is that a lot of people believe that in order to get to where they need to go, they need to make a plan of action and they need to take action in order to get to their destination. And it's very much about what should I be doing, right? There's a doing component. And when you look at people who aren't reaching their goals, we often go back to that default, well, they aren't doing what they need to be doing. And so the focus is on action, action, action. And I would say to you that action follows thought, right? First we think, then we behave.
Right.
And sometimes we think consciously and sometimes we think unconsciously. And a lot of people try to fix the problem by only taking action or attempting to take action. And very often the action they take is, doesn't lead them to their outcomes. And that's the reason for that is because they have to start at the beginning of the equation, which is, how am I thinking about this problem? How am I thinking about this that's causing me to get the outcomes I'm getting? So they, instead of dealing with the thought component, they deal only with the action component. So I would say get off the treadmill, stop running, and start really asking yourself some critical questions. The answers are in the questions that we ask. And so what are the questions? One question you could ask yourself is, like, what's really getting in the way here? You know, one of the exercises that I do with my clients, I run a coaching company, and I work with the highly driven population. And typically they come to me when they're at a point in their lives when they're experiencing high stress or there's a crisis of sorts or they're at the point where they just are tired of the way things are. Right? So they come to me at that point and
sure.
I give them an exercise. And if you're okay, whoever's listening, I'd love to give you this exercise too. Is that okay with you, Adam?
Yes.
Okay. So it's three journaling questions. Question number one is, what do you really, really want? And why do I put into reallys is because it's not what somebody else wants for you. It's not what is expected of you. It's what does your heart genuinely, truly want outside of everybody else? What do you really, really want? Question number two is, why do you want it? What do you think it's going to do for you if you have that thing that you want? And again, the thing can be something material. It could be something less tangible. It could be, I want the biggest love of my life, or it could be, I want a promotion, or I want this amazing car, whatever it is. I want to lose weight, whatever it is. Why do you want that thing, and what will it do for you? And then question number three is, so what's stopping you from having what you want right now? And when you start to write down the list of all those things that are stopping you, what you're going to start to understand is those are beliefs. Those are not real. Those are interpretations. Those are perspectives. They're not real. So somebody who might want to run a business, right? They want to create a business. You have entrepreneurs on your show. They might want to start a business, and they say, well, it's really tough for me to do. I don't have any money. And so, again, I'll say that's a belief. And you might say to me, but no, Kim, that's real. Like, go look at their bank account. But the belief is this, that there is no money available to me. And that's not really true. There's lots and lots of money out there. We know that's the case. But if we believe that money is not available to us, game over. Go do something else. And so what am I trying to say is that the beliefs you have are really what run your life. The beliefs you have are what make that spin happen when you say, oh, this year I'm going to have the best year ever, but then it doesn't work out. It's the beliefs that are getting in your way. It's your thinking. So before making an action plan and going into that action to just get the same outcome over and over again, I want you to stop. Stop running in circles and ask yourself, how have I been thinking about this that's causing a problem for me? And address those issues.
Go ahead.
Right? That's what I want you to do.
Yeah. That's, and see, you know, you mentioned earlier about telling people if it seems like they're running in one place or they're moving too fast, is just to actually just stop running. And sometimes it's so important just to take a step back from it, because when you're in the thick of what's happening, you're in a reactive mode. You're not in a contemplative mode. You're not in a thinking mode. You're in a, oh my goodness gracious, it's fight or flight. What do I do here? So one of these skills that I learned over the course of years, and it took me a while to develop the action habit around being able to just do this, is if I find myself in a situation where it seems like I'm running in one place or I'm being called upon to react to something, like right now, I'll just walk away from it. Somebody can say, this demands an answer. I'll say, what demands an answer? I love that saying, the only thing, you know, the only things that are inevitable in life are death and taxes. I say something similar, which is the only thing you actually need to do in life is pay taxes and eventually die. And even after you die, you'll still pay taxes. So kind of the same when it comes to situations. I don't really need to do anything. Really says who? And if you take that mindset, you find out how many things you think you got to do that in the grand scheme of things don't matter at all.
Correct. And aligned with that is a lot of people believe that something should be different than the way it is.
Right.
And every time someone shows up with a should, I'll say, really? Why is that so? Does it really need to be that way? Should it be that way? Says who? And so it's very similar to what you're saying, because we run around with an idea of how the world needs to look. And if it doesn't look that way, we feel agitated, upset, disappointed, left out, whatever it is that we feel. And very often, it's that emotional state that causes us to not be able to achieve our goals, that emotional state.
Yeah, that's there is something to that. And I know in my consulting work, whenever I hear the phrase, that's the way we've always done it, you know what goes through my mind is the only thing that proves is that somehow you've managed to survive this, despite screwing it up really bad every day. Convince me otherwise.
Right.
Because that's the only thing that proves you've somehow managed to survive despite doing it that way. Show me how doing it that way has really benefited anything at all. I think, in fairness, about 30% of the time they can actually explain it, but when called upon to do so, the vast majority, say about two-thirds, really have no idea. Here's an analogy that another analogy that I love, and I saw this story on a I saw this on a TV show a long time ago, and the guy said that you know his he noticed that his wife, whenever he was putting a roast in the oven, would always cut off the ends of the roast, and he asked her why, and she said, well, it's because it allows the juices to come out, and it makes for a much more flavorful, delicious roast. So he asked her where she heard that. She said, my mom told me. So he went and asked her mother. And her mother said the same thing. We cut off the ends of the roast because it allows the juices to come out and it allows for a more flavorful, delicious roast. And he said, where'd you hear that? My mom. Well, it turns out that her mother was still alive. And so he went to ask his grandmother-in-law why she cut off the ends of the roast. And she said, well, back in that day, we only had a very small pan. I had to do it so the roast would fit.
That's right. I've heard that story.
We often forget the reasons. We often don't even know the reasons. And when we find out the reasons, we often find out they're completely irrelevant to our current situation.
That's right. So if we look at it, right, if we look at it, what is it that leaders do, successful leaders, super successful leaders, they have three, let's call it, thinking approaches in common. Are you interested?
Right.
Number one. Very
interested.
Number one is they challenge their beliefs. So just like you challenged the woman with the pan, right, they challenge their beliefs. They ask themselves, what am I believing about this to be true that's causing me to feel stuck or that's causing a bottleneck? What do I believe to be true about this situation? And they challenge their fundamental beliefs, like a belief that, well, I don't have resources available to me. They challenge that. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is they're incredibly resourceful. So these leaders, people who achieve extraordinary goals, are people who believe that any resource is available to them at any time. And resources don't need to come necessarily with an equivalent trade. For example, I don't need to pay someone for their work. Right? So resources are available at all times from anywhere. And if you're really kind of open to that idea, they try their hand. They don't think that, well, you know, that's not possible. They don't think in terms of impossibilities. They think in terms of possibilities. So instead of saying, no, that can't happen, they say, how can I make this happen? So that's number two. And number three is that they focus on what they want without losing track of what they want. It's very, very easy for us to lose track of our single most important priority. We get distracted with ease. We get other people who have their own priorities who step into our pathway and pull us away from where it is that we're heading. And so these people don't lose track, don't lose a sense of where they're heading, and they keep going almost as though with blinders on. They keep focused on their destination. Those are the three things.
You know, it's interesting you should mention they do it almost with blinders on because there's something to be said for just not paying attention to certain things. I mean, yeah, you have to have situational awareness. You have to do your SWOT analysis or whatever equivalent to that you do so you know what's coming up on the horizon. You have to be aware of the competition. You have to be aware of the potential gaps in your situation and how you fill those. At the same time, you can't obsess over it either. There comes a time for just massive action. And I think another thing that holds people back, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, maybe even a concrete example if you have one, is once you decide upon a course of action, what you may find out that that wasn't necessarily the perfect course of action, but it's still a pathway to your results. Now, every so often when you're driving, you might have to make a slight detour because they have a road closed or a bridge out or something like that. But if you're driving along and you see that there's a detour, do you turn around and go home or do you follow the detour? So the thought is that no matter what course you take, it's likely not to go exactly as you planned, but that's not a reason to quit doing it. So when I heard you say do it with the blinders on, what that meant to me was that you don't allow second-guessing to stop you and make you go home.
Let me give you an example, and it may not be related to business, but I'm going to give you an example anyway, okay?
Right.
So I had a client I had a client, he owned a fairly sizable accounting firm. And when I started to coach him, I asked him a question. The question was this: what's your single most important priority in your life? And he said, hands down, it's my relationship with my wife. And I said, tell me more about that. And he said, well, it's really important to me that we're connected, that we're on the same page, that we're intimate, that we spend quality time together, that we agree on things, that we raise our children with the same direction. And really, it's my relationship with her that trumps everything else. It's more important than my business. It's more important than my relationship with my children and friends, et cetera. I said, okay, great. Now, what I do with my clients is I get them to journal in an online journal pretty much every day as they go through their journaling experience, as they go through their coaching experience. And so 3 weeks later, he wrote in his journal, I got into a massive fight with my wife. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, we don't agree on something. She, you know, it was a disciplinary issue with respect to their children. And anyway, so he explained all the details, and they're not that important, but what's important here is he said, I was so mad that I went and slept in the other room. So let me ask you this. Given his priority of being intimate and close and connected with his wife, does sleeping in the other room achieve that goal?
No.
No. He lost his way. He completely lost his clarity on his most important priority. Completely. It went out the window. Why? Because he felt he had an important point to make. He felt that in this case, he was right. And he felt it so strongly that he abandoned his priority. And we do that all the time.
Yeah.
We get distracted. We get distracted.
Yeah,
and we lose track of those things that are important to us.
Yeah, that's very true. And all you have to do is spend 10 minutes on social media and you'll find people that will amaze you with how much they lose track of what's really important, if you know what I mean. Just
correct.
Amaze you with the tangents they go on and the divisiveness and the alienation that comes from a sense of losing their way. So we're talking about success coaches. We're talking about entrepreneurial leaders. We're talking about the owners of stores, people who sell things either online or through a bricks and mortar location, and they're getting totally away from their mission statement because they have to make a point. And what happens more often than not, is what happens with that point is you start to see lines being drawn through their bottom line, because folks look at that and they say, you know what, I'm out. This is not something I agree with. This is not something that I'm going to invest in. And I think there's a larger thing out there. Regardless, if somebody looks at your thing that you just couldn't stay silent on any longer, they may look at this and say, you know what, I'm investing in a business relationship here, and if I got to worry that I'm not going to be properly served as a customer because this person's got to go out and run their mouth, then I'm not going to spend my money here.
Right. Well, and
so you lose lose your customers.
Right.
Yeah.
You can lose your customer, but you can also lose your team. So I can't tell you how many leaders I work with who are micromanaging their team, and I say to them, kind of team do you want? Well, I want an independent team. I want people who are self-sufficient. I want people who take initiative. Okay, so why are you micromanaging them? Those don't go together. Right? And so,
right.
And you could take, if we take a microcosm of that very problem, we look at parents and how they manage their children. So what kind of children are you looking for? I'm looking for children
right.
who are independent and well, you know, they have great well-being and they're kind to others and they have a sense of confidence and they make great decisions. Okay, so why are you making every single decision for them? Oh, you can't eat the dessert. You need to go to bed. Did you brush your teeth? Go brush your teeth. Go put your pajamas on. And it's nonstop orders. How do kids grow up making good decisions if you don't let them make good decisions as they're young? It's impossible. And the same exact principle applies to employees. Doesn't work.
Right.
Right.
You know, you said how do you how do you expect your children to make good decisions? What also occurred to me, and I was waiting for you to say it, is how do you expect them to grow if they don't, you don't occasionally let them make bad decisions?
Correct. How do they learn? Right? But as parents, we're terrified for our children.
Yes.
Right? We're terrified for them. And so, and it comes from a good place. It comes from a good intention. But what happens is that kids grow up and they don't feel confident. They have a sense of self-doubt. They end up making bad decisions, or they end up doing what they want and hiding it from you because they don't want to disappoint you, and so on and so on. Right? And so this is what we create. And again, all for the good, all for good reasons. But ultimately, it's not what we want to create. And so one of the things that I want to ask when I work with my clients is, what is it that you actually want? And is your strategy getting you there? Is your thinking getting you there? And very often what we find is that people's thinking is very much malaligned or misaligned with the goal that they have.
Wow.
And so we have to address that. We have to fix that. And that applies to everything. It applies to business. It applies to investment. It applies to marriage. It applies to parenting. It applies to friendships. It applies to everything. Everything you see, hear, smell, touch is related to how you think about it.
Right. Okay. You know, you're bringing up something here. We're talking about micromanaging and things like that. And this is bringing up something here. In my chapter and the Amazon bestseller, Journey to Success, the Millennial Edition, I talk about two dates with destiny and how I celebrate April the 27th as my second birthday. April the 27th, Thursday, April 27, 2000, was the day that I left my job at a temporary staffing recruiting firm. And I remember that 9 months earlier than that, I had gone to the interview to meet with the person, you know, for a job interview, the person who would end up being my supervisor. And I should have actually stood up and walked out of that interview. And I can tell you two reasons why. The first is I got there promptly at 7 o'clock, they'd asked me to do, be there at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so she comes, you know, strolling in around 7:30 or so and says, oh, we're supposed to meet at 7. Well, I don't really go by that. It's just, you know, my calendar's just a guide. Which is kind of ironic because this person turned out to be, and I'll get to this in a second. The second piece is the company had been there for about 20 years. They, according to her, they had about 20 to 25 employees. And I was being told during this interview that one of the perks of working there would be that if I stayed a full year, that they would put my name on the front door of their offices. Mm. So I should have asked at the time, if you have 20 to 25 employees, and after a year, one of the perks is they get to have their name on the front door, why is it that the two managing partners, you and the administrative assistant, are the only four names on the door? To make a long story short, This was one of the most unbelievably micromanaged experiences. I mean, this is somebody who would attempt to dictate to you which hand you hold your lunch in while you continue to work with the other hand. That's how ridiculous this person got. They would listen in on phone calls and interrupt you while you were trying to recruit temps and all other kinds of nature of things. But then if you ask the person, they say, yeah, we're trying to help you think on your own. So you try to do some things on your own, and no matter what you do, it's always wrong. What do you think happens after a very short period of time? It's basically, okay, tell me what to do. Right. And you put as little energy into it as possible because you need to save up some of that energy for working on getting your next job.
Well, and also you become complacent because you think, well, no matter what I do, I'm not gonna win. So what's the point?
Right.
I give up. Right? Or you behave exactly as they want you to do right in front of them, and then the minute they turn around, you feel free and you do what you want.
Right.
Right. It's a problem.
Yeah, and that latter thing, which may be mentioned as a success strategy, which is you let people hear what they want to hear and see what they want to see, and as soon as their back is turned, you just do whatever the heck you want anyway. That doesn't solve anything, because now you're having to play a double game just to survive, which brings up an integrity issue. And from a management perspective, they're not getting what they're paying for, because
Correct.
Now they have their employees that are putting actual energy into deceiving them.
Correct. And so, like, let's go back, right? Like, I always like dealing with basic principles and then applying them to other scenarios. So let's look at parents who tell their children, the worst thing you could ever do is lie to me. You've heard that before? It's worse than the action, the act. So the worst thing ever is a lie. But I ask parents, why do you think your kid lies to you? Is it really the worst thing? Why do you think they lie to you? Because you set it up that way. So why would a kid lie to you? Because they don't want to disappoint you. They don't want to be in conflict with you. They don't want to have friction. They want to be at peace with you. That's a pretty important
right.
desire on their part, and that needs to be acknowledged. So they lie to you so that there's harmony in this relationship, and they can go and do what they want to do. We're born to be able to do
right.
what we want to do, right? And so why does someone lie? It's because we create an environment where we need them to do what we want to do, where we need them to request and need our approval. That's a problem. And that's what we do in corporate or entrepreneurial environments.
Yeah.
We desperately seek
yeah,
out the approval
out
of
yeah.
the
right.
leader.
Right.
Does that make
and
sense?
And what that leads you to ultimately is stagnation. Another phrase that I read this in a book many years ago, and this has really stuck with me over the years, is it's not so difficult to fool those who think they're almighty.
Correct.
And that translates into what we've just been discussing, is you have people who micromanage, people who have this vision for the right way for things to be where everything else has to be wrong. It's not so difficult to convince them that things are exactly as they want them to be and then deceive them, because their worldview is not going to allow them to look for the signs of the deception.
Correct. Well, but there's a flip side of that, right, which is this, is that there are a lot of leaders who are always out there looking for deception, right? They're always out there looking
right.
for how people are mistreating them or taking advantage of them or not performing or, you know, not doing their best work, et cetera. There are leaders like that. There are people like that, always, always looking for the shoe to fall or for something bad to happen. And they're expecting negative outcomes. And my philosophy is this. You always get what you expect. We always evidence to support our beliefs. And the evidence always exists. Right? So if we live our lives thinking there are bad things in the world, we keep finding bad things and saying, you see, here's another example. But if we live
yep.
our lives thinking, you know what, there are so many good human beings in the world, we go seek those examples, we go seek that evidence that supports that belief. So what am I really saying is that our lives are a reflection of what we believe to be true. And we can believe anything we choose, because truth is kind of a matter of perspective anyways. It's subjective.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
I like to say to people, there's no such thing as the truth.
Right. There is no such thing as the truth. So the question is, what belief do you have and what evidence are you collecting in order to support that belief? And perhaps that belief isn't really serving you, isn't really getting you where you want to go. So if, as an entrepreneur, you believe that everyone's out to get you, everyone's out to scam you or skim off the top or whatever it is, well, that's the environment. That's the experience you create for yourself.
Right.
Right? And so one of the things I do is I challenge those beliefs and I say to them, okay, so what kind of environment do you want to create for yourself? And let's start to build that. And one of the ideologies that I inject for leaders and entrepreneurs is assume positive intent. And when you do that, dynamics change. People come to the table
right.
giving you their best work.
Right.
right?
Well, here's another thing that I look at is, I myself have said that I choose optimism in all things, and people try and throw all the negativity at me and say, how can you be optimistic about this? Didn't you see what happened in the news today? I said, no, I didn't see what happened in the news today because that's negativity, and I don't pay attention to it.
Okay.
Well, there is no but here. It's like I choose optimism in all things. Tell me something good.
So what's their objection?
Their objection.
Why are they uncomfortable
to say
with that?
Because I believe it challenges their worldview.
Right. So I'll overlay that. Okay. When people
right.
have a habit, and it's a harmful habit of needing to be realistic, to be focused on what's right in front of them. So reality is very alive, right? Like it's very in front of us. It's very engaging, you could say. Well, that's not realistic. And when we focus on reality that isn't the way we want it to be, what happens is we get more of that, right? Because what we pay attention to,
right.
what we focus on, expands in our experience. And so when I talk about, mastering your mental focus, it's really, what are you paying attention to? What are you imagining? What is your mind focused on? And what your mind is focused on is what becomes your experience. And if you don't like what you're focused on, if you don't like your current experience, if you're not happy with it, then you must turn your attention to that which fuels you, which is often more positive, right? And so
right.
people are hung up. Well, that's not reality. It's very important to pay attention to reality. Otherwise, you might miss something. Yes, you might miss out on being miserable. That's okay.
Yeah. Hey, I'm happy to miss out on that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's been my personal belief that if you're in business or even just for things you do personally, you should have some sort of coaching or some sort of guidance for that. And what do you think are some of the reasons that people need coaching?
Well, I feel like everybody needs coaching, especially coaches. But
right.
why do people need coaching? Because I think that you have a life, right? One life. And the most important player or the most important character in that life is you. And unfortunately, people live by and large with this, kind of like they're oblivious. They're living in a sleep-like mode. They're not awake. They're unconscious. And I think it's really important that if you're going to live this life, the person you know the most, the person you invest in the most is you. And so what is coaching really about? It's really about a journey that allows you to know who you are. It's about a journey that allows you to see how you operate and make decisions about how to operate in ways that are more aligned with your deepest desires and goals. That's what coaching is about. You have one life. Are you living it consciously? Or are you just there? And so what's coaching for? It's to help people wake up. And it's to help people really live in greater alignment with what they truly, deeply, emotionally want. That's what coaching is for. Does everybody need that? I would recommend it to everybody, for sure.
Right. Yeah, I think that's something very important for us to think about, is the fact is you cannot do things on your own. And I think that a lot of us suffer from tunnel vision if we allow ourselves to happen. And having coaching is a great way to avoid that tunnel vision of seeing things only through your own lens. Sometimes it helps to have a mirror. Sometimes it helps to have a foil. Also, you spoke about finding that which you're really passionate about and that which you're really connected to. And this brings up an interesting question. And from a coaching perspective, if you could answer this for me, we have a lot of people who, especially entrepreneurs and small business owners who are our business creators, I know this one's going to resonate with somebody because it always does every time we have a guest on and we bring up something like this, is we have folks who are doing a type of business. They're serving a certain audience. They're rendering a certain type of service. They're doing this, that, or the other thing because their coach or their mastermind group told them they needed to, even though they have about as much passion for it as they have for the prospect of lobotomizing themselves with a butter knife. But that being said, they were told, don't leave money on the table, and other such platitudes. What would you say to someone like that who has gotten to the point where their initial excitement over 10Xing or 20Xing or 5,000Xing their business has faded away, and now they're at the point of, dude, this sucks?
Yeah, again, for me, anybody who says this sucks about anything comes to the table with a set of beliefs. So what initially created passion for them, they've turned away from because they had a belief
right. They
had to take on some of this stuff. So can you 10 times your business or 20 times your business? Sure. Does it have to go a certain way? Does it have to look a certain way? Very often we believe that the only way to get that done is by following a specific path. And it's the belief that causes the misery. Right? So,
right. Again,
if I see someone who's not living their passion, if they've gotten away from their, you know, true kind of central place, their true passionate source, then I say, well, like, let's look at what brought you there. Well, I'm stuck because I have to do this and I have to do that and I have no choice. And those are the beliefs that we want to challenge. Because for me, a life isn't really a full, engaged life without passion. Right? So
right.
I want to challenge the beliefs that say, hey, A, I have to do this. Maybe not. Maybe that's not true. Or I have to do it this way. Maybe that's not true. Or I'm the only one who can get it done. Well, maybe that's not true. There are lots of things that may not be true there that I want to challenge. So I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, quit your job, go do something else. I don't want to do that.
Right.
I want to say, what brought you here in the first place? What were you passionate about? And let's get back to that core driver, and then really challenge the other stuff. Maybe there are resources out there that can take you to that 20 times that leave you in your state of passion, but allow the other stuff to be taken care of by other people.
Yeah,
you know, there are lots
that.
And lots of possibilities. And so what I want to do is challenge the fundamental beliefs that take someone to a place of misery. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, I love that. Challenge the fundamental beliefs that take people to a place of misery. You know, I am somewhat unorthodox with the way, you know, we're growing the Business Creators Institute and the things we're doing over here in business. The fact is that there's a couple different sides to what I do. There's a one-to-many side of the business we're currently developing. In terms of what I do for 50 to 60% of the average workday, is I have 5 private clients that I work with, and I work with each one of them in somewhat of a different way because the needs are different. These are all customized relationships. And it's not the type of thing where I go sit on the beach and slurp Mai Tais while I pay people $12 an hour to do all the actual work. I'm hands-on with most of it. And I can listen all day to people saying, well, you know, that's not the leverage. But, you know, it's because there's something about me, and this is just the truth of what it is I can't help but get personally involved and feel that when my clients succeed, I succeed. So rather than try to beat my head against the wall and fix that problem, which could be fixed, and we could decide whether or not it's actually a problem or a benefit, I choose, again, always choosing optimism, to look at it as a benefit is, wow, I can go really deep with 5 people and create some amazing results. And if I can protect that and nurture that, I can have a pretty nice life. And it gives me the freedom to do those other things.
And that's your choice, and that's your thinking. And if it creates happiness for you, right, if that creates happiness for you, if that creates satisfaction and pleasure and passion, and I can hear a lot of passion in your voice, right? You're a pretty passionate guy.
Yeah.
So if that leads you to an outcome you're totally happy with, then keep doing that. If, however, there's part of you that says, well, you know, could I be doing more? Should I be doing more? Is this all there is? You know, I was thinking that at this age I'd be somewhere else. If that exists, then we have to start looking at it differently.
Right.
Right? So it's up to you, and everyone's different.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
Right? Everyone's different.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we have to remember. You know, just you said, everyone and everything is different, and you have to look at situations for what they are. I mean, my situation makes sense to me, but I've had business coaches look at that and tell me that I'm committing professional suicide. I don't feel like I'm committing professional suicide with a business that's been around for 14 years and is doing better than it ever has. That's actually now at a point where it's creating space for me to invest in new things for the first time ever. That feels like a success story to me.
Well, here's what's interesting is the word professional suicide. I'm interested in the word suicide, period, because people will often determine their success based on their business success. And that's, to me, it's a false measurement stick. It really is. Your success in life has nothing to do with how much money you make, right? It just doesn't. Your success in life has to do with how much satisfaction you experience, how much joy you have,
right?
How great are your relationships. That's what's important. And so if you have these five people in your life that you're coaching where you're totally connected and have great relationships with them and your soul is being filled, you're on the right path. And I would suggest to you that you're on far more the right path than many, 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 many people I encounter. So what is the measurement of success? And people are off base with their measurement sticks. We have so many people who are super successful, rich, wealthy, who come to the table, who come to me, and are emotionally drained. They're stressed out of their minds. They're overwhelmed. They live in a state of fear and physical ill health, right? They're not healthy.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's use the right measuring stick here.
Right. I think you're very right about that. And this brings up another point, is you're looking at what other people are sharing on their social platforms, for instance, and it looks like that they have all this great huge success in life, and you're the one whose life sucks. What we have to remember is they're showing their highlight reel, just like you're showing yours. The difference is you see what you leave on the cutting room floor when you do your edits. You don't see what they leave on their floor when they do their cutting room edits. So they may be looking at you right now saying, boy, I wish I had things together like Kim does.
Right. And I will guarantee you, everybody has stuff. Everybody has things they're grappling with. Nobody has it all together. Nobody does. Because we come to the table with baggage. We come together to the table with history. We come to the table with a set of beliefs, all of us, each of us, at various levels that interfere, that get in the way with our ability to live the life we want to live. And the person who does the work, in other words, addresses their thinking and addresses the beliefs that are really hampering their ability to feel joy, that's the person who gets further ahead. It's the person who does that work.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have about 10 minutes left here, and I want to shift gears a little bit in the time we have left. You're the founder of Frame of Mind Coaching, and tell us a little bit about what makes, just based on what we've spoken about in our conversation and some things we might have not have time to touch base on yet, is what makes your approach different from what we see out there?
Well, okay, so what makes it different? Let me just tell you about how we coach people. That will give you a starting base. First of all, we coach people for 6 months, and the first 10 weeks are foundational. Here's what happens in those 10 weeks. There's a call once a week. We record every call, and we ask our clients to listen to every recording. Why? So that they can start to hear themselves. They can start to hear the language they use, the stories they tell. They can hear their emotional state. They can hear where they're trapping themselves over and over and over again. And so what we're really doing with our clients is turning them into observers of their own thoughts. When you can observe your thoughts, then you can manage, then you can master your thoughts so that your thoughts deliver the results and outcomes you want to have. So that's part A. Part B is we ask our clients to journal every single day through those first 10 weeks. So we give them a journaling question, and every time they journal, their journal goes to their coach who reads and responds to their journal. And that's happening on a daily basis, so it's very intense. It's very intimate. If we look at Olympic athletes, how much time do their coaches spend with their athletes? Every minute of every day. They know everything about their athletes. It's a very intimate relationship, and we don't have that in the business world. But that's what we do at Frame of Mind Coaching, is we really get to know our clients. We get to know how they think across a number of scenarios, on the weekends with their families, with their children, with their extended families, during the week when they're working and maybe things are a little more stressed for them. So we see their thinking. And from that data, we're able to extract thinking patterns and how their thinking is impacting them. And so what makes Frame of Mind Coaching different? A, the process. B, the coaches are extraordinarily well-trained, and I would say top of the line. And C is the philosophy, is that we're looking at your thinking, not your actions. Your actions only give us a story about where your thinking comes from. And so we're really focused on that, because your thinking is the seed, it's the core of what ends up happening for you. And unless we shift your thinking, only changing your action will give us temporary results, not long-term results. So all those things combined create a program that is really transformational. And so for us, what happens even in those first 10 weeks is that our clients make a massive change in a very short period of time.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. And there's another technique, and I don't know if this is something that you do, but this came to my attention, or I remembered this or was thinking about it, when you mentioned that you have, for the first 10 weeks, them go back and listen to the recordings of their coaching sessions so they can hear themselves speak and they can hear the language and they can, what I got out of it was feel the energy. Now, when I heard that, it reminds me of a technique that was taught to me a long time ago that's helpful to me, that sometimes I repeat it when I need to, and that I guide others to do, which is if you are finding yourself confronted with a lot of negative self-conversation, like I can't do this, there's no money for me, I can't be successful, I don't have the looks, the charm, the educational background, find somebody. You can go sit out in the park and find somebody who looks like they are exemplifying this, or look at somebody who you follow because you view them as a role model, and picture yourself having the ability to take that negative and self-defeating conversation and plant it in their brain and just vision. Will they continue to be as successful? Will they continue to be the same role model to you once impacted by the barrage of all the things you're doing to yourself?
That's very interesting. That's very, very interesting. And what you're really doing is you're saying to them, people who are successful have different dialogue in their brain.
Yes.
Yes, I agree. And here's what I do with my clients, is I help them really see their dialogue and identify how much of their dialogue is simply an invention. They've made it up. And they've made up, I hope I can be a little impolite, but they make up bullshit, right? They make things up.
Yeah, true.
Right? We make things up simply because we're used to doing it, and that stuff that we make up gets in the way. And unless we move that out of the way, we're going to get trapped. We're going to get stuck over and over and over again in the same place. And come New Year, we'll be in the same place making the same list of goals.
Yes. Declaring that this will be our best year ever.
Right.
And just like you have your coaching clients go back and listen to hear themselves talk so they can start to see their own patterns and their own way of communicating with themselves and with the world, you start to look at all these best year ever checklists, and they start to look mighty similar from year to year to year. And then when you look at that, is I can go back and I can rewind back to 2007 and look at some of the things that I was tolerating in my business, the way my business was, the way my life works was, and I could on the one hand say, you know, I haven't moved along nearly as far as I expected to, but at the same time, I choose optimism. Wow. Look how different this is.
Right. And what I'm interested in helping people see over a 10-week, six-month period is how different they feel. So I take out a new measuring stick for them, and I say, how's that working? Here's where you were when you started using this measuring stick, and here's where you are now. And they're shocked at the change, just absolutely stunned at how much distance they travel in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So we're actually right near the top of the hour. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to turn over the floor to you for one moment. Somebody is listening to this and they found it in some way inspiring, in some ways challenging, in some ways making them think to themselves, this is something that I really want more of. How do they engage with you and how do you serve our business creators? You gave us an outline of how the coaching works, but what do we do to get started?
Best thing to do is go to frameofmindcoaching.com, and right there on the website is a complimentary assessment that allows you to really examine your frame of mind. And what happens is we ask you questions. Some of them are questions on a scale of 1 to 10, but then we ask you some journaling questions. And you fill out that assessment, and that will give you an opportunity to review your assessment with one of our coaches. Now, what happens here is that an assessment is critical because it allows you to see what your measurement is right now. Where am I standing? Where am I facing? Am I even heading in the right direction? What's going on for me right now? And unless you know where you're standing right now, it's impossible to get to where you want to go. So that's what I recommend, frameofmindcoaching.com. It's a great starting point. And a lot of people have said that that conversation alone has been really, really impactful. So do it. Take it.
Yes, absolutely. So that's really fantastic stuff. And for all of our listeners today, I hope that there's something you found here that gave you something to think about. Maybe as we go through the rest of the week here, we look at the fact that it's Tuesday and we still have 3 days to go. And what changes can you make today? How can you change how you're looking at the world right now? Because it's still early enough. Then again, it's always still early enough. It's never too late. It's only too late when you decide it's too late. What can you do today to make the rest of your week different and better? So, Kim Addis of Frame of Mind Coaching, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. It has been an honor and an education.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
And for everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com, where we help you win at the game of business and marketing. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.